turn to Galatians. We've been talking about the sin of unbelief. And make no mistake about it, unbelief is sin. And the reason why we've been discussing this is for the fact that there are many churches or teachers or preachers that believe that if you trust in Jesus Christ and then turn from that, that you lose your salvation. In other words, if you believe on the Lord and then turn from that, you will lose your salvation going into unbelief. And what I've tried to show in the previous weeks, and obviously we don't have time to go through those messages there, but tried to show that we all come from a position of being in unbelief when we live through this world. We're born in a state of unbelief. And it's a matter of us seeing the truth, having it presented to us, and then believing in that truth. Look in Galatians and look in chapter 1. Paul had a problem here. We'll be reading primarily out of Galatians this morning, so you'll be right at home in Galatians. But in Galatians chapter 1, look in verse 6. Galatians 1 verse 6, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul says he marveled. Now, we don't use marvel too much in our vocabulary today. We usually say, I'm shocked, you know. I'm shocked, and that's what he's saying, that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. You're already removed. You see, these Galatians, Paul went into that region of Galatia, and he preached the gospel. Well, what is that gospel? Well, the good news is that Christ died for your sins on the cross, the old rugged cross. He was buried, and God raised him the third day. That is the good news that he brought to these Galatians. So in that church there, they had believers. They went from a state of being in unbelief to where they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But something happened to where they were removed from that gospel, and it was another gospel that was presented to them. Now, if you look in chapter 3 of Galatians, look in chapter 3, he says in verse 10, he says, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, why did Paul write that? Why did Paul write that? In other words, Paul is a man of grace. Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God. It's not of works. It has nothing to do with the law. Why write that in there? And the reason being is that somebody came into his church and told them, if you don't keep the law, you're not going to go to heaven. If you don't keep the law, you're going to wind up going to hell. And he took these people, and that individual persuaded them to turn from Christ and go back under the law. So he writes then in verse 10, he says once again, for as many are the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, he's saying, look, anybody that's under the law, you're under a curse if you don't continue to do everything that is written in the book of the law. If you don't continue all those things, you're under a curse. He said, but look at the good news of this. Look at what you came in and you believed in originally in verse 13. Look in verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus Christ hung on the tree. Hence, he was made a curse. Folks, God took the curse out of the world through Jesus Christ. But what these Galatians did is they went back under the law. Someone convinced them, it's not good enough that you just believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again. You've got the law. You see, at that time, the early church was strongly influenced by the Jewish persuasion, those that practiced the law. So those men went there and persuaded these Galatians to go back under that law. So Paul writes there, he says, look, if you are under the law, then you are cursed if you don't do everything written in the book of the law. He said, how can you go back under that? I marvel that you're so soon removed from him. Jesus Christ came into the world and took the curse away. Why don't you just stick with him and your curse is removed? So they're being persuaded to go back under the law. Being persuaded. Now the beauty about trusting in Jesus Christ, and I want to finish this thing up here. We're living today in a beautiful time called the dispensation of the grace of God. Folks, it ain't been around throughout the history of the world. It is specific to the time we're living in today. It's a truly different operation of God. You won't find it back there during the ministry of Christ. You won't find it in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5. You won't find it in the Old Testament. And you won't find it in the future concerning those things with the kingdom that is to come. Right here, right now is specific to this time. And Paul wrote everything you need to know about it in his 13 epistles. So if you want to know about the time you're living in and how God operates, read Paul's writings. He tells you all about it. And one thing he tells you about is that man today is saved by the grace of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God Almighty structured a plan whereby he delivered up his son to die for our sins. He was buried and raised again. And all we do today is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we shall be saved. The curse is gone. The sin debt has been paid. It takes blood to pay for that sin, and Jesus Christ's blood paid for our sins. He died for our sins. And these Galatians were established in that truth. Paul had that assembly there, and someone came into his church and said, wait a minute, you can't just believe on the Lord. It can't be that simple. You have to keep the law of Moses, and persuaded them that they are to keep the law of Moses in order to find favor with God. Well, folks, the definition of grace is undeserved or unmerited favor. That's what grace is. Undeserved, unmerited favor. That's the time we're living in. There's nothing we can do for God today to find his favor to save us. But these people that came in to do that. Now look, in Galatians chapter 2. Look in Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. Galatians 2, look in verse 4. We're kind of jumping right in here. But he says, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. There was some false brethren that came in unaware, like spies. Because he said they came in to spy out what? Our liberty. Think about it, folks. We that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have liberty. Don't underestimate this. Liberty is a valuable thing. Liberty is a beautiful thing. We're not under any condemnation in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that can condemn us in Christ Jesus. The curse that was upon this earth has been removed by, in, and through Christ Jesus. The penalty of sin that was upon us was paid in full by Christ Jesus. Hence, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have liberty in Christ Jesus. And what these characters did was come in and crane their neck around to spy out the liberty in Christ Jesus of that church. And folks, let me tell you, from my years of preaching this, it just irritates the fire out of many preachers in our community and many people in our community because of the liberty that we have here at this church. You understand? They don't like it. You see, they attend a church that says if you don't walk it, live it, talk it, act it, you're not going to make it. We preach, if you believe it, you're already there. We're just waiting to get out of this world. And we have liberty in the sense there's nothing that can bring us out of that relationship that we are or that we have in Christ Jesus. We have this beautiful liberty, but there were those that came in and persuaded those Galatians to turn from the grace that they were established in back under the law. And so Paul addresses them very harshly, I might say, in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians 3, verse 1, look what he tells them. In Galatians 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? O foolish Galatians. Now, I don't think you understand the consequence of that statement there. First of all, foolishness has to do with unwise, not intelligent. That's a boneheaded decision you made. Foolish. But I want to show you the depth of it and what Paul is really saying there by looking, hold Galatians here and go to Psalm. Go back to Psalm 53. Turn back to Psalm. We'll go back to Galatians in a minute. O foolish Galatians. Now look how he's equating this thing, calling them foolish. In Psalm 53, look in verse 1. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Do you realize he's equating those Galatians to an atheist? You have lowered yourselves, he's saying, from the children of God into atheistic attitudes towards God by turning from the grace that you were established in, the grace that you had liberty in, unto the law, which is another gospel, which is really not another gospel. You've turned unto the law. You've turned from it. You've lost that liberty you had. They came in. They spot out your liberty for one purpose, that they might bring you into bondage. They want to put the load on you. And folks, there are preachers that will say behind the scenes, if you want your congregation to be faithful to the church, work them. Work them. Always make sure. It's like you have a kitten. And a piece of string there or something, you dragging along the ground and the kitten's trying to, you never let the kitten get it. You always have them running around. Well, that's all they're doing. They're holding a string in front of the people, having them chase it. Well, folks, I want you to know something. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he was buried, and he was raised, that work is a finished work. And it's good enough to secure your eternity without you doing anything. You understand? Without you doing anything. But believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have this liberty in Christ. Don't let someone come along and say, don't believe in that once saved, always saved garbage. That's a doctrine of the devil. Well, no wonder Paul said, you foolish Galatians, and equated them to those that back here in Psalm, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They've turned from the God that saved them in the grace of Christ. They've turned from that God unto their own works. No wonder he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? And then back in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, this only would I learn of you. Now watch this. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How'd you get the Spirit of Christ in you? How'd you get that Spirit? By the hearing of faith or works of the law? Well, we know if you turn to Ephesians, turn right, and look in Ephesians chapter 1. We do know this. In Ephesians 1, verse 13. Well, we'll start in verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. After you heard the gospel of your salvation, you believed, and then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, the Spirit today is in everybody that what? Believes. Not does the law. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? He asked them. The answer is the hearing of faith. This grace message is preached. We believe, and the Spirit of Christ dwells in us and seals us unto the day of redemption. And folks, that's what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to the Lord, who's right now at the right hand of God, descending into the clouds. And when He descends there, we're going to go up and get out of this world. That's the day of redemption. That's what we're looking for. It may come today. You just never know. Would you be in the number? When He descends, would you go up to meet the Lord in the air? And so shall you ever be with the Lord? You do it by trusting in Jesus Christ, believing the gospel that He died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day. Paul addressing these Galatians, they're fools because they turned from that truth. Look in chapter 5. Look at his admonition here to the Galatians in chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And folks, that's the law. That's the keeping of the law. You see, there's this implication in a lot of churches where there's altar calls, and the preacher will say, if you've gotten away from the Lord, if you've turned your back on God and fallen away from Him, come on down the aisle and repent of that and rededicate your life. And the implication in that is when you've so-called turned your back on the Lord, there was some disconnect between you and God. Well, folks, in Christ, there's never a disconnect. You understand? There's never a disconnect. Look in Galatians. Look over in chapter 3. Look in Galatians chapter 3, and look what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. In Galatians 3, 26, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Not by works, by faith. Let me ask you something. How do you become a child of God? Huh? How about the other 90% of you? How do you become a child of God? Come on. Faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on now. That's how you become a child of God. It has nothing to do with the law. God's not taking children based upon how good they live. This isn't some competitive thing we're up against. It's by His grace, because none of us are any good. The only way He could save mankind is by His marvelous, amazing grace to have delivered up His Son to die for us, be buried and raised again. And when we believe, folks, we are part of the family of God, and that bond, that connect, will never break. I don't have to have an altar call because somebody went out and committed sin and imply to them, you've lost your connection with God. So come on down and kneel here. Like kneeling right here in front of me is going to connect you back to God? You got to be kidding me.
Right.
You know what it does? It makes me look good.
Right, yeah.
Makes me like the intercessor between God and man. Next 30 minutes, I'm going to start preaching. That was just the warm-up. Oh, it stirs me up, folks. It really does. It stirs me up because they're out there by the millions. And here we sit, the little flock. You know, it's amazing to me, these preachers. Oh, the little flock. Come, children. Come under my wings. And you got 5,500 people in your church? I mean, what's wrong with that? Oh, we're the children of God. Let me ask you something. What ties you to your parents? What's the connection that can never be broke to your parents, huh?
Blood.
It's blood. Blood. Your parents could have given you up at birth. You could have got emancipated at your I know everything age. You could have had family squabble to such a point where you refuse to go to mom and dad's, or mom and dad refuses to go to you. Amen. Oh. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, you can have all that. But one thing will never be denied. That's your parents and that's your kids because it's by blood. I don't care. Separation, whether it's geographical, mental, attitude, emotional, whatever it is that will separate in that realm will never separate the true tie that you have to your parents or your kids, and that's blood. Well, let me tell you something, folks. We all are part of the family of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. You understand? Our sins won't interrupt it. Our attitude won't interrupt it. Our mentality won't interrupt it. Our turning from it won't interrupt it. And what Paul is saying is you that went back under the law, even though it doesn't break the family tie, you're led into a practice where God says, hey, my child, be free in my liberty. I mean, I kind of wish when I was growing up, we had an acre of land and I had a Yazoo lawnmower and there are pictures to prove it. And I'm out back and I'm a little kid holding the handle like that. It wasn't no self-propelled. If you want self-propelled, then you propel it yourself. And I'm out there as a little kid pushing this thing, my backbone and grass and backing up. Just wish Dad would say, son, come on in. Relax. I'll get someone to do the work for you. Enjoy yourself. God says, come on in. Join the family of God. I got someone else that did the work for you. By faith in Christ, you are His child. Can you fathom that? You understand the Creator of heaven and earth to claim us as His children? I'll speak for myself. I live like the devil as a child of God. Say, I would never say that if I was a preacher. No, you're used to preachers building themselves up as a problem. Watch out! Let he who thinks he stand, watch out! Lest he fall. Pride goeth before destruction. Folks, I ain't no good. If you follow your apostle, you'll see that he was no good. And he glorified God for the amazing grace to have saved him and had him pulled in to the family of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Don't be bewitched by these people that tell you, you can't believe in that once saved, always saved stuff. I had one about 10 years ago I'm listening to on the radio. 10 years ago he said, you believe that? That thing won't last. That doctrine don't last. Well, let's see here. We got about 1950 years of it lasting. When is it going to end? When is this thing just not going to work? It's God's operation. It's going to work. It's just people are gullible and put themselves in a position of having somebody over them and telling them how to walk, how to talk, how to act, how to live like a Christian, which is a fake front. It's a fake front, folks. You get down to the nuts and bolts of it all, we struggle to follow the Lord in any aspect of our lives. It's a struggle. It's a challenge. Why? Because we recognize the God of this world, the devil. Challenges us day in and day out. You know, it's hard competing against someone who never has to sleep. It's hard competing against a spirit that you never see and who is on the offensive. It's hard fighting against a powerful being. It's hard fighting against someone who doesn't have any breakdown time or I need to get away, I need a vacation. He's constantly on the offensive, firing those fiery darts. Paul says, stand fast. Stand fast. Have your feet locked down on Jesus Christ. And don't be removed from the hope of the gospel whereby you've been called. Stand fast in the grace wherewith we have been set free in Christ Jesus. Don't be moved back under the law and keeping the law. You can't stand fast if you've never believed. We've seen the good news today is that Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised again the third day. That's the good news, folks. Have you received Jesus Christ? Not heard about Him, not know about Him, received Him within your heart. Just in your heart say, Lord, I believe You died for me and my sins are forgiven. Have you done that? If I asked each one of you to get up one at a time and walk right here, turn and face the crowd and say, I have or have not, what would you say? What would you say? I trusted Christ in 1980, not because I wanted to get good, be good, or anything else, but because I was so bad. And the only hope and escape I have out of this world is God's grace. That's why I trusted in Him. How about you? Have you ever trusted in Jesus Christ? Receive Him today, and then stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Father, we pray right now that if there's any here that has any doubt or question about their eternity, that they just find the relief in trusting in Your Son, Jesus Christ, and put their faith in Him right now. We thank You for those of us that have trusted in Christ. We thank You for the hope that's set before us in Christ. Until that glorious appearing, Lord, pray that You'd keep us and watch over us day in and day out. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Thank you all.